generation of days, which is the din of malachas and mutar maserim the hatzal b'erev Shabbos kedei shiyu and nigbar b'Shabbos. So betzem, once we get past the fact that there's no din of shrisas kelim, and in case I'm not asking a non-Jew to do something for me, I want to start something going before Shabbos, and then it's going to continue. The process will continue on its own on Shabbos. So I light theirs before Shabbos, and theirs continue to burn on Shabbos. So that's we don't have any problem with that. So the more discusses that there's some malachas that there might be a chiddush in it, because maybe we're concerned that the person will try and do something to maintain, make sure that the malacha is done appropriately and properly. He doesn't want it to not work out, etc. So there are going to be some times which we have to discuss the element of chiddush, that we're not going to make any gzeiros and we're going to answer the cases. But betzem, on a deraisa level, we don't have a problem with the person starting a malacha on Erev Shabbos and the malacha continuing to go on its own on Shabbos. So let's see the sif. Sif Aleph. Mutar lahatzel b'malacha b'Erev Shabbos samach l'chashecha. Person is allowed to start a malacha going on Erev Shabbos, even very close to evening. Avo bishan yachol l'gomra b'mbeoyoyim. Even though it will not complete before Shabbos, it will not be completed before Shabbos, and the process of the completion will happen automatically without the person's inputs. For example, so the first example that the Gemara, this is based on the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos and Daf Yud Zayin. The first example the Mishnah gives, the person is going to take the different ingredients that you make ink out of, or you're going to make some type of a dye out of it, and you soak it soak them together with water, etc. So you're going to be making the yo. So either it's going to be the malacha of tzeveya, or it's the malacha of megabel. You're combining the ingredients as a form of lisha. One understanding, or the alternative understanding, is that you're going to be coloring the different coloring of the different ingredients. One affects the others. Each one is coloring the other one. So you set it going before Shabbos. You mix the pot up together, and you cook it up, and then you let it sit, and it just the whole Shabbos it's going to be soaking together and boiling together. And we're not worried about it. Okay. Belos is one example. Belos is unin. What are unin pirish agudos? That's bundle shal pishtun. Lataner kadesh yislabnu. So you take the flax as it comes off of the plant, and you put it into an oven. And the oven, as it heats it up, so there's a lot of liquid inside over there. Like any plant, there's moisture in it. And as the moisture evaporates due to the heat which is inside the oven, so it whitens the flax, and the flax comes out to be more white. So, see, even though it's going there, doing a process of libun, which is cleaning it and cleansing it out, whitening it, so that's, but since you put it in before Shabbos, on Shabbos it happens on its own, so there's no reason why this should be a problem. Well, the chiddush over here is you don't make a gzeira, that he might peek in and say, "Well, you know, it's not cleaning so much because the heat is not so good. It'll stir up the coals." We're not worried about that. Okay, that's the second example. We'll also similarly the secha yara she'ena al ha'esh he tuchu betit. He is going to put wool into the pot where the dye is in. The way they would process it is they would cook it up together, and they would let it sit, and the wool would absorb the dye. So you have that dye, have the pot, the wool in the pot. That's not a problem, but it's only mutter shein alaish if it's not directly on the fire. He took a batit, and. The pot is sealed. You sealed around the cover with mud, you know, the clay type of thing. So you sealed it. Then it's mutter. Now, why is only mutter if these two conditions? One is that the pot is not on the fire. I mean, you're leave a pot of food cooking on the fire. We'll see in the next simon on Gimel, which takes this discussion and moves it to setting up cooking things before Shabbos, going into Shabbos. So you're allowed to leave a, for Ashkenazim, make your adin. A person is allowed to leave a pot directly on the fire going into Shabbos, as long as the pot is a third cooked. The amount of food, which the amount of cooking that the food needs to get to make it edible, a third of the time has passed. So you're allowed to leave it on a fire going into Shabbos, and that's mutter. You don't, and there's not a requirement that it cannot be aleish. There's not a requirement that it has to be tuchah betitz. And over here, we're adding these two conditions. It can't be aleish, and it has to be tuchah betitz. It has to be sealed. Okay. Sheim hi al ha'esh, osur shemi echad. See, if it's on the fire, we're afraid that the person might come to stir up the coals, because when it cooks and it boils, so it absorbs better. So the person will be tempted. The person will forget that it's Shabbos. They'll say, "Wow, it's not really absorbing so well. Let me go stir up the coals." Right? In stirring up the coals, it'll increase the fire. It'll increase the heat, and therefore, it will absorb better. So that's going to be a problem. Pirish, Yigala v'yoyer hakacholim b'machto. He's going to uncover them and arouse them through stirring them with a shovel or something of that sort. So they mean uncover them, because as they sit, they sort of develop an ash coating on the outside, and as you shake them up, so you remove the ash coating on the outside, and the fire which is inside bursts out into flame. Okay, so number one, we're afraid that it's going to be there's gzeir shem yichata. Now, why don't we make the gzera later on by the case of the food shem yichata? Because we have a concept that food which is a third cooked is edible, at least to some extent. So we're not worried about the person stirring it up. But over here, there's a gzera that a person really wants it to, he's going to have to use his garment on an ongoing basis. And the coloring, if it's not a strong color, it's not going to look good. So therefore, we're afraid the person will be mechata. Okay. And the filo eno aloesh. Okay, take the pot is not on the fire. So, but why do you have to have it sealed? Imeinu tuchu batid is osur. If it's not sealed, it's still the problem. Shema yogis ba bekaf. We're afraid that he might stir it. Okay. Vamagis bekadera filo eno aloesh chay mishum avashul. Stirring is also a form of bishul. Why is that? Because the nature of stirring of food is that it helps it cook better. So the act of being magus is a form of helping it to cook. So we have this concern that a person, if it's not sealed, the person might come to stir it, and that is the equivalent of causing it to cook. Now, Mishnah Berurah is going to say that the parallel is not perfect. We'll actually discuss the issues of hagasa, of stirring a pot. Actually comes up all the way at the end of Simin Shin Yud Ches, so we have a while till we get there. Okay, and those of you who were in the shir the last time around, well, it'll be chazar by the time we get there. Fine. So that's the next example. So we gave the example so far of soaking the Diyon and some Amonim in water, that they will sit there and soak and absorb the whole Shabbos, the coloring, etc. You put the Unin of pishtin, the bundles of the flax, into the oven to bleach them, and you put the semer into the yura. So that's the third case. Now the fourth case. So now this case has an element which you haven't seen in the first three cases. What are we adding over here in the first three cases? The first three cases, batzem, the malacha was actually started before Shabbos. It started cooking, it started absorbing the color, it started heating up the pishtun and bleaching it. Over here, all you've done is you set up traps before Shabbos. And then on Shabbos, the traps will trap animals. So the reason why it's mutter is because whatever your part is done before Shabbos. And the fact that it traps something on Shabbos, that's happening in mail, it's happening automatically without the person's input. But the chiddush over here is even though there is no malacha which started at all before Shabbos, the malacha didn't start yet. Tell me one thing, the animal already was already caught in the net before Shabbos, and it's struggling, and eventually, after a period of time, it's fully trapped. So that would be a parallel case. But saying, the chiddush over here is even where nothing has happened before Shabbos. But since the human input is done totally before Shabbos, whatever happens afterwards is automatic, it's mutter. So that can be for chaya, wild animals, birds, or it can be for fish, as long as they're in the tzedim b'Shabbos. Okay. Mutter limkar le'en Yehudi, a person allowed to sell. Now the next case moves to something that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. It's not a malacha per se. This goes into the issues of Marisayan and Xera interacting with the Goy. So you're allowed to sell any Yehudi, but Tinoi B'samach L'Chashech. You're allowed to sell something to a Goy, and then you can load the Goy up, and the Goy will take the items out and be carrying them. We're not worried about people saying that the Jew told the Goy to carry it through the streets, etc. But however, the Goy cannot leave the Jew's home once Shabbos starts. He has to leave before Shabbos starts. Okay. Hagob yesh matirim sheyotzi any hudi b'Shabbos. The Rambam brings the sheet and says that not only does he have to, is it mutter if he leaves before Shabbos, even if he's going to actually take it out from the Jew's house on Shabbos. If the Jew has given over a designated place for the goy to store his things before Shabbos, so therefore, if somebody will look into the situation, they'll realize that this is clearly the goy's own item. Horai, it's in the goy's special place. So we're not worried about over there the chashad, the people will be chashad that he sold it on Shabbos. V'yesh lahachmer, but however, it would be appropriate not to rely on the lenient opinion. That is an interesting area in the world of Marasayan and chashad. We're saying that the person's question is the person's doing something inappropriate, so therefore people will misinterpret it and it's a problem. What about if the case where the person will do something which is truly, truly 100% mutter, etc., but people do not know that they do not know the circumstances, but if they look in the circumstances, they realize that's so. So how far do you take the misinformation of people into consideration? However, you say, if they would really look into it, they would realize there's nothing wrong with it. So that's, here we have an example. We're saying that if it's designated off to its own place, if Jews will look into the story, even not knowing all the details, but they see it's in a separate place where the guy keeps his stuff. So why should there be any marasign? That seems to be the materium holder. That's enough. Okay. Let's see, Mishabura. Lishur stiyo, b'Shabbos also. So, what's the problem of soaking the stiyo in the water? Mishum megabel, either because it's combining ingredients together, which is a form of lush, mixing something together, or shemar v'diyo by mind biyachad. He's combining the two. Mishum the also mishum tzeveya, or alternatively, it's coloring the water. The reason why it's mutter is because since you started it before Shabbos, whatever the Jew's input was done before Shabbos, the pula itself, which continues on Shabbos, is automatic. So it's mutter. And all these cases which we're going to mention are cases which, if the person would do this on Shabbos, it would be also deraisa. And since he did it before Shabbos, and whatever happens on Shabbos is automatic, it's mutter. Okay. Now, one other thing which we could go back to the case of the Mitsuda, So the mitzvah has a unique element, which you're setting something on Shabbos, something up before Shabbos, that it should actually take place on Shabbos. That's more like along the lines of setting up a time clock, that a time clock will do something on Shabbos. So over here I'm setting up the trap, that the trap will trap something on Shabbos. So the process of it's something along the lines, and we see that's mutter as well. That would be a raya to the issue of setting up a time clock, that the time clock will cause something to take place on Shabbos, should not be problematic. Rav Moshe is the famous tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was not convinced he argues that we should have a problem of there's a zilzal in Kavod Shabbos, because theoretically, you know, with using, he was talking about time clocks, and nowadays it's 10 times worse. You know, using with all the automation and the technology, we could really have a person having his whole factory running on Shabbos without his input. And there's clearly that the mind's going to be involved in the world of thinking about the business, etc., not taking his break and focusing on Shabbos, because he has the whole factory running. It's running on time clocks. And Rav Moshe did say it's important to use time clocks for Neiris, for electric lights. The argument being that there is a shita, which we'll see later on, that the Mir Lakim is mutter the Tzarek Mitzvah. If it's going to be for an issue of rabbanon, so a shavus to shavus smoking mitzvah is mutter. What about a doing a deraisa, emir la'akam on a deraisa? So it's one rabbanon, the tzarich mitzvah. That's not normally understood to be mutter. But the one exception is there was a minig that the poskim were semach on. There was one sheet of rishonim which is mekel on it, and they were semach on it for neiris. They would tell the goy to light the neiris, so it wasn't the game for Friday night. It was the game for Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos, or sometimes late in the Shabbos afternoon, you had these. They didn't have any illumination inside the buildings. The windows were not necessarily very large, especially the older buildings were built with small windows for protection purposes. It was very dark in the room. So they were noyig. The Rambam brings they were noyig to be mekel and to semach on the shita that the tzarich mitzvah people should be able to daven and to learn. They would tell the goy to light the neiris. So Moshe says, we already have a leniency when it comes to neiris, so to replace that with a time clock can't be any worse. If anything, it's better. But to start using the time clock for other purposes, Moshe was against that because of the zilzul and kavod Shabbos. The Ma'aseh Minhag of Poskim is not to be machmir on it. According to Moshe Pashtus, he was against the idea of using a time clock for setting an air conditioner to go on and off. Shall pishon the tanner, sifkat and beis. I feel ain't tuch b'kisuya b'tit. So you're putting the pishon into the tanner. So here you don't need that should be tuach. So we said by the case of the tzemer to the yara, we need it should be tuach. The pot over here. Why don't we say that we put it inside the oven? We should seal the oven. I feel ha'ochi l'chashin and shem yigala kisuya b'chat ha'gecholim. Kim in the ruach kosher len lo yichashin and shem yigala. So, but it's inside the oven already. The oven is closed because that's how you keep the heat in. If you open up the oven to stir up the coals, yes, you gain that you stir up the coals. You lose that all of the heat, you allowed the outside air in, which that's not good for the process. So there's no chashash that a person will want to open the door of the tanner while this process is taking place, so therefore he can't come to the mechata the kecholim because he can't get to the kecholim because he's not going to open the door. So by pishon we're not worried about that possibility. Fine. Gimel semel yara sechel yara. He called it the tzeber. So the purpose over here is it's going to absorb the dye. So over here we have a problem that if it be on the ash, it's a problem also shem yechata dalit. And I feel like yes, man, she equal ain't at seven when by Jerma feel hockey also, Shemi Hatta Kadej liquid hate. So we're saying that even if you put it up early enough beforehand, that it will absorb the color before Shabbos. So say, okay, so why should I aser it? I'm asering putting another fire because maybe he'll be mechata. I'm putting it up early enough before Shabbos that he will not need to do that, because if there's enough time from before Shabbos for it to absorb the coloring, so it should be mutter. I say, no, it's still aser, because the intensity of the color is also valuable to the person. So even though it'll absorb the color, it won't absorb the by being mechatzah the color, it'll enhance and strengthen the absorption of the color, and therefore that still goes in the gezeirah. And we're also worried about that he might stir. So if the pot is not sealed, we're afraid shem yogis. And a megas b'kadeira is chai b'shem avash. Hine, after mechaber hishra, hagosa de biyara lagosa b'kadeira. So Shulchan Aruch now is comparing the case of hagosa in regards to the yara over here, which is the pot for the purpose of making the dye, and the yara in the case of hagosa by the kadeira, which is for cooking purposes. Shulchan Aruch seems equated to it. He said like this, ain't a shovel of garment. It's not really 100% true, not exactly the same. How so? The kadeira, im himu v'shel is called tzarka, su les b'yisura. By a case of hagosa, by a pot, for cooking purposes, it reaches a point. So the reason why by hagosa, by a pot is a problem is because you're causing it to cook more quickly. Well, if it's fully cooked, it's not really a problem anymore. If it's fully cooked, there's no problem. There's no issur. If a person will go and stir a pot and it's fully cooked, you're not doing anything. But over here, we don't differentiate whether it's fully cooked or not fully cooked. We don't make this difference. Which is explained later on. Okay, and also So the concern over here of Shema Yogis is actually stronger than the concern of Shema Yogis, which is true by the case of cooking. So by stirring, that causes it to cook more quickly, and that's also considered a problem of bishul. So how do you know that that's true? That causing something to cook more quickly is a malach of bishul. It means I have something which is going to cook the full amount that it needs to cook is going to happen no matter whether I stir it or not. I don't have to do anything more. It's going to happen automatically. So maybe I could argue just being makarev bishul is not considered bishul. So the source for it is a gemara in Shavuos, actually. And the gemara in Shavuos talks about not regards to Shabbos. Gemara talks about the following issue: that a person who's kohen who's tamei, you see, has an issur with a chiyuv koras to be in the Beis HaMikdash. A person who's tamei can't be in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a separate issue of a person who was tamei, a kohen who was tamei can't do the avoda. So the Gemara is looking for a case where it's a person who would be over the issur doing a avoda betuma, but not being over the issur of being tamei and being in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, well, I can give you a case. The person became tummy in the while he was tor and became nitma in the Beis HaMikdash. An animal died next to him and touched it. So now he's tummy, touched the veil. So he wasn't his fault. But he'll continue to do that avoda. So now he's did that avoda betuma, even though he's not chayiv for being tummy in the Mikdash. The Gemara says, well, that's not true, because he has to leave immediately. If a person came tamei in the mikdash and he stayed there, he's also chayiv for being tamei. He didn't go into the mikdash betuma, but he stayed in the mikdash betuma. Is also chayiv. So Mor says that he left immediately. Mor says he left immediately. How's the shaft to do avoda? Mor says as he was running out, he took. They had large like fork like items, and he turned over a piece of meat on the mizbeach, and he caused it to burn on the mizbeach more quickly. So the process of consuming the Kabbanis of the Mizbeach is part of the Avodah. And now he caused that to happen more quickly. So therefore, that's considered a case where he wasn't chayav for Tumah because he left immediately. But he's chayav for doing Avodah of the Mikdash because he caused the item on the Mizbeach to burn more quickly. Because once you turn it over to the other side, it burns more quickly. So the Ritva says, you see from this Gemara, this idea of hastening the process of how something cooks, or something over there, something will burn in the Mizbeach, is called a Maisa of, it has a Cheshivas of a Maisa. Over there it's Chayiv, it's considered part of the Voidah. So for Shabbos also, being Makar Bishul is considered Bishul. And that's the Makor where you have this Yisoid of being Makar, something is considered actually cooking it. Fine. So we said, he's setting up the traps before Shabbos, and they're going to trap on Shabbos. Now, is there a case where a person would be chayiv on the raisa level by doing this? So the case would be if a person set up the trap on Shabbos, and at the moment that he's setting up the trap, the animal walked in. Otherwise, it's a groma. A person sets up a trap, and later on, even a person would set up a trap on Shabbos. And later on in Shabbos, the trap catches an animal. Person put that, so he didn't do malachi. It's a groma. He set it up, and eventually something happened. That's a groma. So where's the case where there would be malachi deraisa involved in setting up the mitzvahs of the chaya? The answer is that what would happen immediately as he's putting up the traps, that's called him trapping him. Trapping something. Okay, now the definition of what it means, b'shash pisosoi, it means that he's holding the trap in his hand and the trap is doing the act of trapping. That's called him trapping something. You can sell to the goy, if there's not enough time for the goy, according to the Shulchan Aruch Shita, if there's not enough time for the goy to take his purchases out of the house, or the goy says, I'll come pick it up later on, I'm buying it now, pay for it now, I'll purchase it now, but I'm not going to pick it up till tomorrow afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, you're not allowed to sell to the goy under these circumstances. So he has to leave the Pesach Beis HaMikdash tests. Kadesh Lo Yia Nirashay Yisov Tzivo L'Hutziyah V'L'Chutz. Again, the problem here is because otherwise it looked like the Jew was told him to carry it out. But don't tell me the case where there's no Erev. So here the Goy is doing the Malachah V'Hutzah from the house, which is a Shusha Yochid, to the outside, which is a Shusha Rabin, more a Carmelist. And he's doing it seemingly because the Jew told him to do it. A second reason why it should be problematic is because or people will think that told the guy to carry it out, but people will think that the Jew sold it to him on Shabbos or did a havoah from him and gave them to the guy as a mashkin. Also, so the difference between the two pshatim is, according to the first one, it's a problem of hutzah. If the city is surrounded with a wall, so there's no hutzah, or if there's an area, there's no hutzah. But the problem is the people were chayshed that he sold that the purchase took place on Shabbos, so it means the Jew sold it to the guy on Shabbos. So that's going to be a problem, even though there's an area around the city. Okay, that it should be a problem. Even in a city which is Makabas Chayma, because there's this other Cheshash. The Minyanen of the Ninyan Mechira, Chen Ninyan Schiris, Eze Chayma, Tzvari Sheish, Tachma Fila, Ben Makabas Chayma, Vayen Yehudi Dorsham, Sheyotziye Mebeisu Mebadyan. So even so, you have to get, even though there's a wall around the city, there's an air around the city, you must get it out of the Jew's house. In the case of over here, Mechira, the case we had before with Schiris, the Goy has to take it away from the Jew before Shabbos. Now, summer Mekel, if you designate a place for the Goy's items, it's like the guy took it home. We don't want to get this happening regularly. It's not just not that, it's meeker then it's a problem. Not just because we're worried, he'll be Margul Lagoy. Just designated a place. It's not called the Goy's, it's not the items, it's not the Goy's in the Goy's house. It's in the Jew's house. Yichud Mokum doesn't make it the Goy's. Or that's in the Goy's house. So regards to chametz with Pesach, if there's chametz which belongs to a goy, which is in the Jew's home, and the Jew has responsibility for it, so it's going to be a problem. And even if you're miyachon mokum, it's not going to solve that problem. Gam the roy sevashi yisrael tivor lutzioi, and you have the problem of that the it'll look like the Jew told him to carry it out. Okay, in the hokum is a elam mokum hefsed gadol hefsed tzarakovit. Now, Bimeinu Yehudi Alam, the Goy is a very, very powerful individual. He has a lot of control over the the community, and we're afraid if we don't accommodate him, he's going to wreak his vengeance against the Jew. Another circumstances, Chazal did not serve it. You know, the Goy will come and take it. It's really meeker than it's not your problem. Let him do it. And so he wants to make it. It wasn't just your miyach in the makom. You actually rented out to the goy. So now it's the goy's house. No, even if you rent out the room, the mice is sitting with a Jew. People will see it as it's sitting with a Jew, and that's a problem. Just want to touch one or two things over here. So, famous Shiloh, which was discussed, was a case where you did a Maisa Kinyan before Shabbos with somebody, but you made it tonight, that shouldn't be Chal till later. So, so that the Kinyan will take effect on Shabbos, but you did the Maisa beforehand, so that's like these cases. You do the Maisa beforehand, even though it actually happened on Shabbos, that's Mutter, because you have no involvement at all. The question which always comes up, you have like an eBay person puts a bid on eBay, and the bid's going to be completed on Shabbos. When it's completed, automatically this whole process is going to take place. It's like he's buying or selling on Shabbos. But he set the whole thing up before Shabbos, so really meeker than that should be mutter. And that's many that so that the chara, based on what we're saying over here, that should be mutter, right? Everything said beforehand that, but there's a Kibagor says not like this. Kibagor says, there was a famous Machlokas that the Marshak said this is Mutter. Marshak was a later Pesach, but Kibagor said that this is Usser, and that the Pshat is that these Malachas are totally divorced from the person, right? The person sets the process in motion, but it's not. But it's the person's rots and interests, you know, is irrelevant at that point in time. It's going to happen whether he wants it or not. By the case of a Kenyan, so that if the person, let's say for argument's sake, sets up that he's selling an item, he's selling it that it should be take effect 5 days from now, which is Shabbos. If in between he decides to sell somebody else to take effect 3 days from now, the law is that Kenyan is effective. It's only effective if the person is still alive and still has not sold to anybody else and wants that kinyan to take effect. When it comes Shabbos, then the kinyan will take effect on Shabbos. It's not automatic. He doesn't have to do anything, but the rotzen of the person still has to be there. The presence of the person, he has to live still. If he dies, it goes to Yarshim. The kinyan is not automatic. If he would sell to somebody else, so there's going to be there is some level of input of the person. And therefore it's a problem. That was Gregor Shita, wasn't that was a problem. Similar issue you'd have with a person owns vending machines. So over there, your vending machine is vending on Shabbos, but you're not doing anything. You set it before Shabbos and happening automatically. Pasha, according to Gregor, that should be a problem as well. Even though there's no human input at that point in time, but the kinyan is effective because the person, let's say, a person has it set up in a person has a vending machine and set up in a non-Jewish in a factory with all the workers are not Jewish. So there'll be non-Jews buying for the Jewish owned vending machine on Shabbos. So the person were arguing Shri Mutter, but according to Kvega, the car that case should be also. Okay, let's stop here.